Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
God wants me to share something different. God wants to wants me to share provokers of new dimensions. The things that provoke new dimensions. Because there are many things. And you will need new dimensions, brothers and sisters. I tell you why. Our war is evil. You can't be where you used to be. The evil in the world is growing. You have to move fast and stay ahead of darkness. The darkness that is in this world. In fact, the darkness that is in this world will force you to come to a point where you will begin to pursue other things instead of God. In Mark chapter 4 verse 19, the Bible gave us three things that the darkness of this world produces in the heart of men. Number one, it calls it the cares of this life. Darkness will create a system around you that will make it impossible for you not to have legitimate needs. In fact, your needs grow faster than your age. Your needs grow faster than your body fat. In 30 years, your head just increased a little, but your needs have become like a mountain. It is the elements of the falling age that is making it happen like that. When the world was not yet falling, the needs of man were not that bogus. Adam was in the garden. He didn't notice any need. He was only seeking the needs of God and fulfilling them. But when the earth fell, our needs became too many. And so needs and legitimate concerns can make you not to grow in the spirit. And the Bible went further to talk about the lust of this life. Even if your needs are not growing, your soul structure is being mutilated to love other things apart from God. You will not know when suddenly your eyelashes have become more important than seeking the face of God. You will not know when your fingernails are more important than your soul structure. I was sharing with a brother this morning. I told him, when we wake up in the morning, we go into the shower, we have a clean bath, we brush our teeth and dress well and go out. We take care of our body and prepare our body for the day. When we finish the day and we come back, we return to a shower and tidy up again. But sometimes for 1 month, we have not bathed our soul. Every day we eat 3 times to give energy to our body. But most times, there are persons who have not eaten in 1 year. Some have not eaten in 3 months. Some have not eaten in 1 month. They are conscious about caring for their body. At least once a week, we are in the gym exercising. But we don't exercise the soul. How do you bathe the soul? You bathe the soul in the word. As you meditate on the word, they say the words you have heard, they cleaned you. That's John 15 verse 3. The word washes your soul from the death that you make contact with in this world. But we are conscious about the body, not the soul. You feed your body 3 times a day, but you forget to feed your soul. When was the last time you sat in God's presence for the glory to descend on you? Because you were created to live in the presence of God. And what your soul feeds on is the presence. If your soul does not eat of the substance of the presence, your soul will become sick. And it will die. But we nurture the body without nurturing the spirit. All of that is called lust will pursue other things apart from God. And so these are demonic dark operations weaved into our soul to keep us in one location so that we will not keep pace with God. And so when we talk about new dimensions, it is necessary because you need to step out of the darkness of this world. There is a darkness. The Bible said in Isaiah 50 verse 1, it said, darkness shall cover the earth. And it said, gross darkness the people. He said, but you arise, shine, because your light is come. So if you don't ascend above the darkness, the energy that trap people in a place where they cannot make contact with God will keep you there. And so the journey into new dimension is necessary because you need to arise. And the way you arise is in the presence. In Isaiah 40 from verse 31, he said, they that wait upon the Lord, they mount up with wings like eagles. They mount up. The way the eagle mounts up and rests upon the wind and glides. He said, that's how a spiritual man is supposed to live. So whatever it is that is happening, you have a technology that helps you to ascend above it. And so if you don't ascend above it, you can't touch the things that are heavenly. You can't touch those things. And so tonight, out of the four provokers of new dimension, the first is called prayer. If you don't pray, you'll be locked in this world, the world of iniquity. Suddenly you will find yourself desiring things that you are ashamed of. You will find yourself doing things that you are ashamed of. You'll lock yourself in the dark and you committed evil and you think nobody sees it. No, it's men that you can hide from. In the spirit, it's a continuum. You say you have come to the spirit of just men made perfect. That thing you did that you thought you hid. Men of many ages were watching you. And the reason God allowed them to watch you is so that you don't have an excuse when you appear in judgment. Because that place you fell, there were many who stood. And so when you come into judgment, you cannot give an excuse. That place you took bribe, there were many who rejected bribe. That place you decided to go into harlotry because you claim that's the only way you can feed yourself. They will show you many people that had opportunity to go into harlotry but stood their ground and they didn't die of hunger. And so they will become the judges against you in the ages to come. But the way you deliver yourself from the rope of this age is to ascend through prayer. And so when you start praying, you will discover certain things will begin to happen to you. The first thing that will happen to you as you start praying is that the weight of this life will fall off. It will fall off. Most of you who have tried this enterprise before, you will know that when you go into prayer, even time itself will become so long. 5 minutes will be like 5 hours. And you are wondering what's happening. The reason is because we are tied to this world. There's a chain holding you. You can't break out of the influence of this world. But if you don't give up and you continue there, a point will come, the Holy Ghost will help you. He said the Spirit himself helped our infirmities. He helped us. Because there are infirmities. This evil world has put infirmities in your soul. That's why the presence of God that you should enjoy has become a body. But if you refuse to give up and you stay there, the Spirit will come with some inoculations of the Spirit to begin to help your infirmities. So the first thing that will happen is that you will notice the weights that stops you from ascending will break off. When those weights break off, you will enter the second realm in ascension, which is focus. Focus. All of a sudden, your mind that was wagging everywhere will suddenly become fine-tuned and you'll begin to seek the things that are above. Because before now, you were seeking things that were beneath. But you have broken out of the first layer of the earth realm. So you have entered the realm of focus. So only the movements of God will get your attention. If you continue like that and you still don't stop, then you enter the third realm. The third realm is the realm of charging. Charging. They will connect frequencies into you. That's why I said in Jude verse 20, it says, you dearly beloved, building up yourself upon your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. The word build up is a word for edifice. And what it means is the way you charge your phone battery. Your phone has many potentials. But when the battery is dead, the potentials go flat. And so what you do is that you plug it to electricity. After a while, when it is charged, you can on the torchlight. You can make calls. You can send text message. You can connect to the internet. You can turn it to a router. All of those possibilities were there, but they cannot work until you charge. So what prayer does is that it charges you up. Sometimes if you pray to that level, you will discover you were in your room praying, you knelt down gently. But the next time you open your eyes, you were facing the wall. You were roaring like a lion because another energy has connected to you. Sometimes as you are praying that prayer, you will discover your body will bend because something is happening to you that is not normal. You started praying like a gentle and religious man, but the next time you discovered yourself, you were like this in your room. There are times you pray, even your voice is taking. You will now discover you were praying, Father, I love you. I want to worship you. You will find yourself. What you are doing, you have disconnected from this world. You have entered another community. That community you enter, they are speaking energy. And so they no longer speak English language there. You will discover you will connect to your tribe. There's a tribe of fire. And so as you are praying, the fire of God will come upon you. And you can't contain it. Sometimes you are running in your own room. You are running. And they find out, how can an 80-year-old man be misbehaving? He is under fire. And a man under fire has no courtesy. Something is happening. You are breaking out of this world. That's how you journey into dimensions. And a point will come. When you continue at that realm, you will now enter the fourth realm. It's the realm of the voice. That's when they will summon you. Come up hither. He said, I was in the spirit on the last day. And I heard a sound as of a trumpet. Prayer didn't end because you prayed for 3 hours. Prayer ends because you have been summoned. Come up hither. It is at that realm of come up that you enter a dimension. And when you show up, they will start showing you things. Some is to be purging. Because when Isaiah was summoned, he said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. And his train filled the temple. And immediately, without being told, he said, woe unto me. I'm a man of unclean lips. And he said, one of the seraphims took one of the coals from the midst of the fire and touched his tongue. And he said, now your iniquity has been poured. He has entered the dimension. A dimension of sinlessness. Because he was summoned. John was in the Isle of Patmos. He was sentenced there to die. But he had come up. The moment John went up, he came back as a prophet. He said, I write unto the church in Ephesus. How can a man who is sentenced to death begin to give instruction to churches and territories? He has entered the dimension. Ezekiel said, in the 30th year, on the 4th month, in the 5th day, I was among the captives by the river Kabah. And I saw visions of God. A man who was a prisoner suddenly was summoned. When he came out, he became a prophet. Ezekiel stopped traveling. It was the whirlwind that started carrying him. He will say, I was in the spirit, and the spirit of the Lord caught me by the lock of my hair and carried me to a valley of dry bones. The man started traveling at a frequency that no car or vehicle could do. He entered the realm of translocation, bilocation, movements in the spirit. He was a prisoner, but he ascended. When he ascended, they picked him up. The guy knew a technology that nobody knew. The first way to enter into dimensions is to enter on your knees. We journey here faster than we journey in a plane. A plane may take 1 hour, 10 minutes from Abuja to Lagos, but it will take a moment on your knees because you travel faster on your knees. Believers are not aware. This is why the devil will allow you to sing and dance, but not pray. Because he knows when you start praying, you start entering realms. The doorway to realms is locked up in prayer. And Jesus knew this. You will hardly hear that Jesus sang. Not because singing is bad. You will hardly hear that Jesus danced. But Jesus prayed. He prayed all night. He prayed all day. He prayed alone. He prayed in the public. Because for him to stay connected to heaven, he needed to travel. They arrested Jesus and they wanted to throw him off the cliff. He didn't say anything. When they came to the edge, the Bible said he walked through them. He looked at them. They don't know him. I'm beyond time. Where I go to, time doesn't have power. And he allowed them to exercise their muscles. When they took him to the edge of the cliff to push him, they thought they were in control of him. He turned and he walked through them. Because there's a superior dimension that it functions from prayer. Many don't pray. That's why when you talk about spiritual things, they are strange to them. They are strange. We are carried away looking around, celebrating everything, but the real glory is in the spirit. The glory is in the spirit. I traveled to a nation. They told me, come, let's take you around. I said, no, that's a distraction. If you take me around, I may see things I'm not supposed to see. But there's a place where I go around. I go around on the altar. When I pray, I see things. I see things. I see strange things that can fascinate you for a lifetime. I've seen a cherubim walk into my room before in his glory. Those things are more precious than looking at the city of Dubai from above the cloud. They are things that men cannot imagine. They come with glory and realms. All of those things are accessed when you pray. And when you see in the spirit, you don't just see for fascination. Everything you see in the spirit confers authority on you. Because as far as your eyes can see, you possess. See, they are sprinkling fire on some people. See, there's a flame. Some of you are about to enter a dimension of priesthood. The powers on the altar, the men that can stand up and say restore, the men who can watch over the gates of cities, not because they have money in the natural, but they have scepters in the spirit. I see a sign that a summon is about to be made, that men are being called into the crucibles of fire, the same place where Isaiah went to and he was ministered to by the seraphims of glory. I decree by the Holy Ghost, everyone being summoned, this is your hour. I call you forth like a warrior. Meraike te kafarak, Sheyana mandaria kakas, Verone sayade. Aye. Oh, aye. Aye. Ah. Aye. Aye. Ali ai eh ah Ali ai eh ah ah eh Ora che le lemana variano malatandre farikadak zezazana mantarados aye. Hear this. There are dimensions in the spirit. They are waiting for those who can ascend. Elijah mastered how to journey in the spirit. A point came. Everywhere he went to was the presence of God. He was in the palace. He said, before God whom I stand. You want to fight Elijah? He could call fire from heaven. Elijah walked to the Jordan. The Jordan that God parted for 4 million people. He took his mantle, hit the water, and the water parted. What God could do for 4 million people, Elijah, without asking God, made it happen. It's a power in the realm of the spirit. I decree over somebody, everything fighting your altar, I rise up against it tonight. I decree everything fighting your fire, I pull it down tonight. By prayer, ascend now. Oh, there are three persons that come under the fire now. Ushers, you need to help me quickly. Identify those ones. There's a scepter of priesthood falling upon them. In this auditorium, in the overflow, and those on the line, take that fire now. Marova Katalish, Zagadak, Naria Dadasha. Aye. Aliyah.
Please sit down. Those of them that were touched, you can bring them to the front here. We are journeying. And so the first way to provoke a new dimension is by prayer. You can be promoted 7 times in 1 year. It's your choice. It depends on what you do on the altar. Did you not read about Jesus? The season of temptation, Jesus turned it to the season of announcement. The Bible said the Spirit led him to the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. For 40 days before the devil came, he fasted and prayed. And when he left that mountain, a mountain that should be a mountain of temptation became a mountain of announcement. And in Matthew chapter 4 verse 15, he said he returned in the power of the Spirit. And his fame went abroad. What should have been temptation became a time of announcement and promotion. I decree over someone tonight, by the power of the Holy Ghost, step into the new phase of your walk with God. Aravekas, Mariano, Fragata, Sazalina, Hartis, Jege Parisk. Everything stopping your emancipation by the power of the Holy Ghost, they go down now. Please sit down. The second way to engender a new dimension is by prophecy. Prophecy. When the word of the Lord comes to you, it comes to move you forward. In 2 Kings chapter 7 verse 1, the Bible told us in chapter 6, there was a city laden with famine and poverty. The situation was so bad that women were eating their children. Now, the Bible revealed to us that among mortals, the purest form of love you can find is between a woman and a child. A woman's bond and connection to her child is the purest, most unconditional form of love you can find. And so when women begin to eat their children, you know that is a worst case scenario. That was what was happening in that city. Things were bad. The king was helpless. Suddenly, a prophet carried the word of the Lord and showed up. And he said, by this time tomorrow, he said, a cup of barley will be sold for 1 shekel. He was talking about national economy. National economy does not change overnight. There are structures, there are administrative procedures, there are investment plans that must be put in place for national economy to be affected. The prime minister knew God so much that he knew there is such a thing called the window of heaven. But he told the man, even if the window of heaven were open, it will not be possible. And the man told him, you don't know the excellency of prophecy. He said, you will see it, you will not partake of it. And according to the word of the Lord, overnight, national economy was turned around. When God wants to bring you into a new dimension, he sends a word in your direction. In Ezekiel 37 from verse 1 to 9, Ezekiel said, I was in the spirit, and the Holy Ghost took me by the lock of my hair to a valley of dry bones. And he said, indeed, the bones were dry. That's a hopeless situation. The bones were dry. And in verse 7, he said, I prophesied as I was commanded. Suddenly, bones joined to bones. Do you know how scattered that situation is? The chaos that people who were massacred had decayed until they turned to bones. He said, bones began to develop intelligence. Intelligence enough to identify which bone belongs to which bone. As if that was not enough, the flesh that had disintegrated and decayed and scattered, the wind would have carried some of them. It says suddenly flesh and sinews came upon the bones. As if that was not enough, he said, prophesy again in verse 9. And he prophesied. And he said, breath came into them. And dry bones did not just rise and come back to life. Dry bones became an exceeding great army. The fastest way to enter a dimension is by prophecy. And so I prophesy over you. By the Spirit of God, everything dead in your life returns to life now. Every hopeless situation, every frustrating situation in your life, by the Spirit of God, I decree they are turned around for you. He said, when the Lord shall turn again the captivity of Zion, he said, we shall be like them that dream dreams, and our mouths be full of laughter. I decree over you now, as you walk out of this auditorium, your mouth shall be full of laughter. In 1 Kings 17, Elijah came to a widow that had nothing. All she was left with was a handful of barley to prepare to eat and to die with her child. And Elijah looked at her. In verse 4, he said, as surely as the Lord liveth, this is the word of the Lord. He said, the barley will not finish. It will not finish until the day that the Lord shall send rain. And what the woman would have eaten for just one meal suddenly sustained her through a drought that lasted for more than 3.5 years. I decree over you, that thing you call a little hope, it will take you to the greatest point in life. To find a new dimension, you must find a prophetic word. A prophetic word is the vehicle that ushers men to new dimensions. Even as you are listening to me now, the word of the Lord will enter your spirit, and it will shift you from your valley of dry bones to your exceeding great army. They told you you'll never get married. By this time next year, you'll be in your husband's house. They told you that sickness will kill you. I came with a verdict superior to the doctor's verdict. You shall not die, but live to proclaim the word of the Lord. This is not stories. 4 days ago, I was in Goku. I decree a growth vanished from a woman's leg. Something that requires radiation. But the word of God is a superior radiation. It says, my word not as hammer that scattered the rock. Every stubborn condition in your life, the hammer of the word comes against it tonight. And I command it to shatter. You want to pray in the Holy Ghost for 1 minute? Mere Vayata Nanask Zanzara Dina Sabde. Alia. Alia. In the name of Jesus, please sit down. Nobody hearing me now, whether on ground or online, is permitted to remain the same. That door locked against you For many years you have fought against it. I come by the Spirit and I command the door to scatter. The devil has used it to taunt you. This is how they stopped your grandfather. This is how they stopped your father. You have come to stop them. I decree by the Holy Ghost now, every force that has become a stronghold in your home, I scatter it now. Every young lady here, society has pressured you. Demons have pressured you. Men have made a fool of you. I decree now, the glory that was upon Esther, it rests upon you now. Be desired by kings. Please sit down. Something will shift in your life tonight. The third way to step into a new dimension is by giving. I'm telling you principles that are eternal. I know criminals have used the altar to manipulate people. I know they made a mess of this principle, but that some people messed up a reality does not make that reality a mess. Hear this. The way you shift your possibility is by trading it on the altar. Abraham had a prophetic word from God. Genesis 12 from verse 1 to 3. Get thee out of thy country. Get thee out of thy kindred. Get thee out of thy father's house. I will make of thee a great nation. In blessings I will bless you. The man was not blessed until Genesis 22 verse 5. After God commanded him to give Isaac on the altar, Abraham didn't call it a giving. He called it a worship. He said to his men, I am going yonder to worship God. And when Abraham offered Isaac, the Bible said, God called unto him and said, hurt not the young boy. That means God is not taking from you what you are giving. It's an excuse to bless you. Not because in Christ you are not blessed, but it's helping your faith to receive the blessing that is already available. And God swore by himself, because there was none greater than him to swear by. That means if there was something greater than God, he would have used it to swear. To show you the level of commitment to make Abraham. And God swore. That was when that promise was validated. And in Genesis 22 verse 1, the Bible said God blessed Abraham in all things. It's a progression. God himself spoke. It didn't come to pass until Abraham used a giving to open his faith to receive it. I decree concerning you, the Holy Ghost himself will strategically lead you on what you will give that will open your faith. I'm not taking a seed. I don't come to preach to take seeds. I teach you what will move you forward. So you do it by revelation and by leading. When you give, it's for your own prosperity. These are eternal principles that we are about to lose. Today there are people attacking spiritual giving on virtually every platform. Not every minister is a thief. They are those that have credibility and the Spirit of God himself validates it. You want to move without giving? Acts chapter 10 verse 1. A man who was not part of the commonwealth of Israel. The way the door of salvation opened to the Gentiles was by giving. Jesus came. Jesus died. Jesus ascended. The Gentiles could not receive salvation until a man of the Italian band understood the mystery. He said he gave alms and prayed, and the givings of this man, the Bible said, ascended to heaven as a memorial. So it was his giving that reminded God to open the door of salvation to the Gentiles. An angel appeared to him and said, go tell the man called Simon Peter to come tell you the word of this life. And Simon will come at the instant of the giving of a man. There are doors that will not open to you until you give. He said, God is able to cause all grace to abound, not to the prayer warrior.
All grace does not abound to the prayer warrior. All grace abounds to the man that gives cheerfully. There are doors that only giving open. This is why you must know it, and you must be sensitive, and by revelation make giving a lifestyle. It's beyond giving in a conference. In 1 Kings chapter 3 verse 3, 4 and 9 to 12, the Bible said Solomon went to Gibeon, the high place. There he gave 1,000 burnt offering. Immediately, say God appeared to him that night and told him, ask me what I will give to you. Why others are troubling God? Lord, help me. God is asking other people, what do you want? That's not for intercessors. It's for givers. I can tell you, the poorest quadrant of the church are intercessors. Because they pray, they never give. They have a huge reward in heaven, but on earth, they will enjoy no promotion. So support your prayer with giving. He said, Cornelius prayed and gave. That power is what opens all grace to a man. You give to God, you give to his prophets, you give to the poor. Every avenue for giving, give and give continually. It's not something you do once in a while. 2 Corinthians 9 from verse 8 to 9. The Bible said something amazing. See the way God mandates us in the New Testament to give. 2 Corinthians 8. I want you to project it. It said, and God is able to make all grace abound, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound in every good work. This is almost like a jack of all trades that is a master of all. Always, all things, in every good thing, all sufficiency, everything, all, because all grace was at work here. And what provoked this kind of grace is in verse 7. He said, God loves a cheerful giver. Not giving out of necessity. Not giving because church has a need. Giving because giving is your lifestyle. That's what makes you to continually, progressively, unabatedly enjoy promotion. There are people you can't hold new realms from, because their giving opens their heart to receive all the time. Your giving is not you giving to God, it's you opening your faith to receive. Because what you can't give, you may never be able to receive. Church is quiet. When you talk giving, everybody becomes someone. We will talk it because we preach the whole counsel of God. The third thing that engenders new dimension is called giving. And giving not out of necessity or momentarily, but giving as a lifestyle. Cultivate it and see what happens to you. Even the people that are not in the kingdom know much. They know this much. Find out how those outside this, they look for opportunities to give. That's why Nigeria remains poor. All we are seeking from the nations is to receive. When you see Nigerian president with the British prime minister, he's looking for how they will give. If it's with the American ambassador, he's looking for how to receive. We never connect to nations to give them in good faith. Unless there is something diabolic and manipulative that you can't explain. Like giving to child. That's not the giving up. They say polio. We are looking for money. They say poverty. We are looking for money. They say sickness. We are looking for money. We are always begging around. That's why you never go and see the leading nations of the world. They make giving their hobby. It's part of their plan, their yearly plan. It's budgetary allocation to other nations. How can they lack? You want to go from glory to glory? Giving must be your lifestyle. In fact, the way God judges your heart is by your giving. He said, where a man's treasure is, that's where his heart is. The way God checks your honor is by your giving. He said, honor the Lord with your substance. So when God wants to read a man's heart, he reads his giving profile. That's how we are sent. There are many poor preachers. They preach giving, they take all the money, they never give. That's why they go nowhere.
It's not something for members. It's for all believers. You who preach it, you give more. It's a sign that you know it more. Preachers will come and talk about prophetic seed, talk about giving. Their own is never there. Go and check the church account. They only withdraw. And you will not know why they don't move. I decree over you tonight, the grace to give rests upon you. And your giving will produce results. Finally, the way God orchestrates new dimensions is by sending you a man. He said he sent a man before them, even Joseph. God will always send a man to a people. If he doesn't send a man, a people are doomed. God wanted to anoint Saul as king. He sent him to Samuel. His own king, he will send another man to anoint him. And 1 Samuel chapter 10 from verse 1, Samuel will look at him and say, is it not because the Lord has chosen you? If the Lord has chosen you, why is he connecting you to the man? Because there are many things God will not do until he sends a man. And Samuel will tell him, as you depart from me, oh God, may God make you a man he will send. He said, as you depart from me, you will find two men. He was shaping the guy's future with words. That was not prophecy. He was telling, he was shaping. This is what Jacob did when he blessed his children. He was not prophesying. He was using authority as a sent man to shape their destiny. He said, Reuben, you are the beginning of my strength. You are supposed to be excellent, but he said, as turbulent as water, you will not prosper. He was not prophesying. That's a sent man. When a sent man talks, his words are laws. And that was what Samuel was doing to Saul. He said, they will tell you, they will salute you and tell you, your father has stopped looking for the missing asses. He's now troubled about you. He said, as you go forward, you'll find three men. He said, one will carry three kids, another will carry three loaves of bread, and another will carry a bottle of wine. He said, they will give you two loaves. He said, receive it. He said, as you depart from there, and you approach the plain of Tabor by the sepulchre of Rachel, you will find the band of prophets. He said, there the spirit of the Lord will come upon you and you will be changed into another man. How can he dictate for him until when the spirit will come upon him? Because when God wants to do wonders, he sends men. I didn't come here because I'm a popular preacher. I came here because at this time God sent me to you. And if I am sent to you, I decree now, every force that has negated your progress, they go down now. Even Jesus, a man was sent to him, the Son of the living God. He had to go to John. And John said, no, I should be baptized of you. He said, suffer it to be so for now. Thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. It's a righteous requirement. When Jesus appeared to Saul on his way to Damascus in glory, Jesus still sent him to a man. He said, go into the city, you'll be told what to do. How can you see the glorified Christ and you will still need a man? It's a law in the spirit that men shift men. And when the guy came, he said, brother Saul, the Lord that appeared to you on your way, how can somebody meet Jesus and still need to meet another man? There are people who are proud. That's why they can't move. The Lord that appeared to you on the way, he's brought our Lord, but he sent me to you. And he laid his hands on him. A scale fell off his eyes. He was filled with the Holy Ghost and he was commissioned an apostle from that day. Every ordination on your life that is pending, I come to you tonight as a man sent, and I decree, step into that ordination now. In Numbers 34 verse 9, it said Joshua was full of the spirit of wisdom, not because he sought God. He said because Moses had laid his hands upon him. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 14, Paul said, neglect not the gift of God that was put upon you by the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Not because you have the Holy Spirit,
This one, men installed it there. In Romans 1:11, he said, I long to see you that I may establish you by imparting unto you gifts of the Spirit. I decree over you, every grace you need to be promoted, receive it now. Somebody is being lifted from the pit right now. And is being decorated among princes. Somebody that hardship has defined until now. The grace for wealth, the power to get wealth, it rests upon you now. Somebody that has become barren in the spirit, as you hear me now, the grace for fruitfulness, take it now. Maracados. You want to pray in the spirit for 1 minute? This atmosphere is about to shift. This atmosphere is about to shift. Metakarish. Jayana Mantakiba. Berababaya Tatadina. Maravira Haktavosh. Merodia Tatakila Barak. You want to pray in the Holy Ghost? This is your hour. It's at a certain time the Spirit of the Lord stepped into the water. Every time it's not the same. There's a moment where the water is troubled. Beretaados. Belano Maragada. Bababaya, Bababaya. Rekenanda Sariado Dadas. Ah! Marobakenato. Ah! Alia. Alia.
Hey, yeah.
lift your hands toward heaven now.
Play for me.
There are 24 of you here that God is shifting into a new realm of authority. Some of you will receive power for wealth creation. Some of you will receive power to heal the sick. Some of you will be given a name literally in the spirit. Father, please, I need you to be sensitive now. This is the hour. The hand of God will come upon them now. Ushers, you will bring those ones here for me quickly. There's a commissioning. There's a coronation. Wherever they are, 24 of you, the power of the Holy Ghost finds you now. Take that power. Ushers, bring them here. They are 24 people. High commissioners in the spirit. Barakano Sadavaka. Jadekabaro Sadavaya. Yelak. Yelak. Heya, heya, hey. Heya, ya. Heya, ya. Heya. You can stop praying now. It's the hour to receive. Something is happening in the spirit. Some of you, your spiritual DNA is being reconfigured. You have come to that point where courage, confidence, everything has been lost. But tonight the Holy Ghost comes for you. I decree by the power of the Holy Ghost, the hand that lifts, it rests upon you now. Take that power now. Take that power now. Take that power now. In the name of Jesus. If you can't stop praying, the Lord wants to touch those who are sick and afflicted in their bodies now. As much as you can, please be sensitive. All you need to do is look up to Jesus this hour. Don't miss this moment. You miss me here, you missed everything. Father, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over every spirit of infirmity. And I take authority over infirmity itself. I decree that the chains of infirmities, they break now. I command ear conditions in the name of Jesus be healed now. Eye conditions be healed now. I command growths in the body be gone. I command pains, arthritis pains be gone. I decree now muscles, bones receive strength. Receive strength in the name of Jesus. I command blood conditions be healed. Organ infections be healed. In the name of Jesus, the power of sickness breaks now. On ground, online, in the name of Jesus, receive your healing now. Receive your healing now. Receive your healing now. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Ears begin to hear. Eyes begin to see. Growths dematerialize. Pains be gone. In the name of Jesus. If you couldn't walk, stand up. This is your hour. I'm seeing somebody on this road towards the back there. Blood comes out of your nose and it's a brain condition. But it causes blood to come out of your nose and sometimes you have faint spells towards the back on this road. If you are the one, wave at me, please. On this row, it's a condition that makes you, sometimes you black out. In the name of Jesus, you have received your healing. If you are the one, can you wave at me? I want to see that person. And everybody with that condition, he sent his word to Jacob. He lightened upon Israel. If you have that condition, come to the front here now. I want to lay hands on you. I'm seeing somebody towards my left here. You have had constant and consistent migraines. And it looks as if one side of your head is about to break. You have received your healing now. Can you please step forward? I need to lay hands on these ones. They are a first fruit of what God is doing. I command literal growth in the body. Be gone now. Be gone now. Be gone now. In the name of Jesus. I'm seeing a lady somewhere towards my right here. Where that first AC is, there's an arc there. Your menstrual cycle has been messed up. As I speak now, you've not seen your menstruation for a period of time. They want to afflict your fruitfulness. I decree that affliction goes now. In the name of Jesus. My God. Somebody has you had a condition around your hip. It looks as if you had an accident before. The pain has remained. And it has caused you excruciating pain when you walk. No, I know you, Mama. I saw you today. That pain has gone now. If you will bend your hip, you will discover that pain is no longer there. I arrest every sickness here tonight. Healed in the name of Jesus. Near that black speaker there, that black speaker, I'm seeing somebody that has a heart condition. It creates this heat sensation. And sometimes it looks as if you eat, you want to throw. There's this hot sensation and palpitation somewhere around the back there. As I speak now, you have received your healing. The Lord touch you now and you receive your healing. And everyone with that condition here, in this hall, in the overflow, I cause that affliction. My God, the Lord is just touching somebody with pile. You have had pile for some years now. I cause that affliction to its root. If my signals are correct, this person is towards the back. Towards the back, by my left there, there's a pie condition. The Lord has dried up that affliction. I curse it to its root now. In the name of Jesus. If you are the one, walk out now and take what God has made available to you. Lift your hands and honor the Lord. I may not have called your situation. It may be an arthritis pain. It may be a growth in the body. It may be an eye condition, an ear condition. Hear this. Many times, God touched people and they find it difficult to testify. Jesus said the one that testified was the one made whole. You don't keep your testimony. It's an act of ingratitude before God. Now, check your body. There's a condition. My God, I'm seeing somebody close to this guy standing here. This camera guy. It looks as if you had a challenge with your throat. I don't know. I just sense something leave somebody's throat here now. Like a painful condition. I don't know. Is there somebody around here? Around here, you had a throat condition. So are you the one? Around here, if you are the one, lift your hands. If you are not the one, just drop your hands now. There's this around this guy standing here. It looks as if you had a condition on your throat. You even find it difficult to swallow. I just pick that frequency. Like a snap. Is there anybody there like that? Please. Mama, please come. You waving your hand. I caused that affliction to its root. Now, if you have noticed a change in your body, we are out of time. We'll not take all the testimonies, but we want you to come out and shame the devil. Because when many of us are sick, it glorifies the devil. In the same vein, when many are healed, it glorifies the Lord. And it shames the devil. I want you to check your bodies. Check your ears. Check your eyes. There was a growth. Check it. There was a pain. If you have noticed the healing, can you wave at me? Somebody is shouting. Look at the hands. My God. My God. Mama, what happened? Wait a minute. Wait a minute. If you have noticed the healing, Mama can't contain herself. If you have noticed the healing, just wave at me. If you have noticed a healing now. You have noticed the healing. Those of you who have noticed the healing, can you come towards the left here? Tambira Jehovah. Tambira Jehovah.
Tambira Jehovah. Tambira Jehovah.
Yelele yelele.
Yelele yelele. Yelele yelele. Tambira Jehovah.
Yelele yelele.
Yelele yelele. Yelele yelele. Tambira Jehovah.
What happened to Mama? Where is she? My God. Find out. Can I have somebody? We'll just take two or three testimonies. We're out.
I have arthritis.
You had arthritis? For the past 10 years.
I'm 60.
Mama, come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Who has the final say? You had arthritis for 10 years. For the past 10 years. So you literally can't. What couldn't you do before? Please stand up, Mama. She's overwhelmed. Mama, stand up. Stand up.
I can't jump. I can't jump. But now, you tell me.
You. Give the Lord a shout! Stand up, stand up, stand up, please. Stand up. Stand up. As God is touching hands, she's celebrating. The Lord is still touching somebody. Every affliction you came here with, in the name of Jesus, they are cursed. Receive your healing now. Let me tell you, some people are not bodily sick, they are soulishly sick. The energy to pursue destiny, they don't have it. They sleep all day long. Laziness has eaten their destiny. People with soulish infirmities, receive your healing now. There are those who are oppressed by demons. They can't retain anything in their head. They can't use their mind to think positively because they are paralyzed in their mind. Every mental condition, every soulish condition is crossed to its root now. My God, we can't even take all the testimonies. What happened to you, sir? Can I get a microphone?
I just felt a great manifestation of the presence of God.
Praise God.
While you were ministering.
Who had a growth in the body? Is there anybody here that was healed of a growth? You had a throat in your throat. Let's hear what happened.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I've had this for over 5 years.
What did you have?
Pains
in the throat.
Yeah, if I turn to high blood pressure, I've used so many things, and to the glory of God, the things has gone now.
Is this how you celebrate Jesus here? Give the Lord a shout. Our time is up, and so we can't take all the testimonies, but you write them. What happened to you, Mama? You had a heart condition. What exactly?
It's called a boot-shaped heart.
Boot-shaped heart?
Yes, that's a pretty good thing of it.
What's the symptom?
I palpitate. I can't. It's so much.
What happened now?
Now I'm feeling relieved from my soul, from my being. I'm feeling so, so relieved.
Give the Lord a shout! What?
I mentioned it.
By the, where you were standing.
The speaker, yeah.
And suddenly.
Yeah, suddenly.
Praise God. It's permanent. It's permanent. In the name of Jesus. What happened to you, Mama?
His brain.
You had a brain condition.
Yes,
what's that?
Yes. He used to peppish me, you know. I don't know how to describe it. I have the pains there.
But what happened now?
In fact, suddenly, the thing just disappeared.
Alabara bi arao, alabara bi arao, alabara bi arao.
Testimonies, but please make sure you write it so that Jesus will be celebrated on your account. I decree over you, everything God did for you tonight is permanent. You will not lose your miracle in the name of Jesus. And everyone under my voice, I decree by the Spirit, move to a next level. Step into a new dimension in the name of Jesus. So let it be established. By this time next year, everything you know now as a testimony will become a past. It will become a joke. Because what God is bringing you to is 100 times greater than this. Let it be spiritual, soulish, bodily, and circumstantial. In the name of Jesus, be blessed. Be lifted and be established in glory. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info@encounterjesusministry.org or info.ejfi.ng@gmail.com. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministry.org.